seder this week, Pashas Balak. In the end of the seder, beginning, we have a nice Balak. Harasha wanted to destroy Klai Yisrael. So he hired Bilam Harasha to Makal them. Bilam Harasha was a Navi between the Musaylam. Mufashim say that David made one Navi by the Musaylam, by the Goyim. They shouldn't complain that they don't have a Navi. So they have a chance also. And Bilam was known, he had the Kerf to Makal. So he hired him to give a call. And Bilam Harasha, of course, wanted to give a call. He said he wanted to give a call, but he knew the facts. The facts were that he could only say what the Eibush puts in his mouth. And that was the mice. He tried to give a call, and Eibush put in his mouth a bracha. He ended up giving a bracha. Bull got upset, of course, so Bilam said, we'll try it from maybe a different angle. He thought it would work. He went to a different place, looked at the clay, saw from a different angle, and again, he gave a bracha. And then he said, he tried a third time, he went to a third place, and again, he tried to give a call, and Eibush only let him give a bracha. The Torah says that v'yicha af Bilam. Bilam got angry at him. At Balak, he told him, Lokav, I some schaticha. I hired you to curse them. Hini brachta zeshon shpom, and three times he gave a bracha. So Bilam answered him back, reminded him, I said I can only do what David should put in my mouth. But Bilam Rasha gave him an etzah. He goes, between me and you, I'll give you advice. I'll give you an etzah. And Rashi brings down a little more of the inside conversation. He says, the Lashon that Bilam Harasha told him was, the Eibishta of these people, the Eibishta of these Yidden, he hates Zima. Zima is Znus, Pritzis, you machshu the Yidden in Zima, and then you win. Then you win. Balak took the advice, he sent the B'nai Smidyan, and the Yidden, Achman's son, B'chayti, with B'nai Smoyev, B'nai Smoyev, and a Magefa started. And then the Torah says that, and part of the Aveir was one of the Nesim, one of the Rashi calls Zimri was Machman Salon did Zima, Bethesia, and Pilchus went and did Mitzvah Kanoim Pagan Boy. So in Mitzvah Kanoim Pagan Boy, he went and he killed Zimri. And the Torah says, the Eibush said that the Kivyachal, that Pilchus Heshev Es Chamasi, he stopped the Magefa. And that's what the Pasuk continues in the following set in Pashas Pinchas, Voice Bris Kunas Oilam, that he gave, David gave Pinchas, Chain Emma Hini Nesling Species Shalom, Voice Lang Zayach of Bris Kunas Oilam, Tachashakin Elankov. And the Schuss of the Smiths, so Pinchas became a Kayan. So Rashi explains that Pinchas really was already a name called Arna Kayan. He was a grandson of Arna Kayan. It was Pinchas Ben Elizabeth and Arna Kayan, so why wasn't he a Kayan automatically? So Rashi explains, when Kahuna started, when David the first gave Kedushas Kahuna to Aaron HaKohen, Aaron HaKohen was not born a Kohen. Aaron was given Kedushas Kahuna, was given by Matan Torah. But Matan Torah, when David made Aaron Ubonov Kahanim, it was only Aaron Ubonov. Because Aaron, at that time, Aaron had four sons. Elozav Yisam and Nadav Aviyu. David made Aaron and Elozav Yisam and Nadav Aviyu Kahanim. But their children that were born before that, they were not Kahanim. And Pinchas was born before that. Now, once Aaron and Ubonah became Kahanim, now they're Kahanim, any children they had after that would be Kahanim, and that's the Dari Daris of Kahanim that we have. Everyone was born from Allah's Visam, another of you, after they became Kahanim. Aaron and Kahanim, I don't think, had any more sons, if you look at Tanakh. But the children that were born before, Moshe Pinchas, he wasn't a Kohen. So that's what the Torah is saying, that Pinchas got the Matnas Kuna, got the Schus of being a Kohen because of this mitzvah of Kohen Pagamai. I'm thinking that even though the Torah says that Pinchas became a Kohen because of this mitzvah Kohen Pogrom, I think it's also only because he was a grandson of Aaron HaKohen. If he wouldn't have been a grandson of Aaron HaKohen, if he would have been somebody else, I don't think he would have been given kahuna just because of this mitzvah. Because to give kahuna to someone from a totally different mishpacha would be taking away from Aaron. When kahuna was given to Aaron, it was given exclusively to Aaron and his family. If you give kahuna to a different family, you're taking away some matnas kahuna. This way, all matnas kahuna goes only to Aaron and his family. All truma and all matnas kahuna, the chavtar matnas kahuna, chaz v'shoeg, all the matnas kahuna, and the avoid the besmitish is strictly to Aaron. If you give it to someone else, you'd be taking it's not right. It was to Aaron a kohen in a way. It would be taking away from him. That's why.
Then
his
children also would have been.
That's right.
Okay, so
that's
it's not so cool. It's true,
Hein Terezu, B'nei Aaron,
but
it's only because he's also, and that's why, Lomashal, Pinchas would have been from a different family, I think they should have given him a different schar. He needed to get a schar for the Kohen Poimim. He would give him something else. The reason why he got this schar of becoming a Kohen is also only because he's an Ein Kohen. This way, it's not taking away from Aaron. Aaron and the Kohen probably doesn't mind. Okay, really, it was only given to Aaron and Bonav and the ones that were born after they became Kohanim. But if you want to add one more, Pinchas, who was also from Elazar, from Aaron and Kohen, that's not taken away from Aaron and Kohen. It was in the news a while ago. There's a panel of Gzach in Chochmogim Tamin that they know how to look at genes and DNA. It's microscopic, but every person has something miyuchad to him, genes, and there are also matching things in families. They could see very close similarities, I think, to brothers and sisters. And they found something they call it the Goyim, after they called the Kohen gene. They found a certain gene that every Kohen they checked has that gene, and anyone who's not a Kohen does not have it. And it's a Moed HaKadosh Hashem. It's something that shows that our Messiah is true, that anyone who was a Kohen has this, if he gets tested, he has this gene, the Kohen gene. So it shows it's a Moed HaKadosh Hashem to show our Messiah that these people all have some sort of relation. The Chochma Goyim Taman tells us they all related. They all come from the same ancestor. They all come from Aaron HaKohen. So over 3,000 years since Aaron HaKohen, we kept the Messiah Shtak, that we all know who's a Kohen. So I saw that the Yisrael Yoshev, if you could be Samech on this test to make someone who doesn't know he's a Kohen. Someone never knew he's a Kohen. He does a test and he sees he has the Kohen gene. Can you say Bechas Kohen? We don't know if we know a Kohen. Can you get the first Aliyah and Laning? Does he have it in Kohen based on his Kohen gene? What?
I don't feel it totally.
And maybe they were to break it down from the father. Maybe they you know, this is the Y and the X chromosome.
So good question. So I'm asking.
Maybe they have to see paternal genes and maternal genes. Maybe it's a paternal gene. You know, they break it down. Maybe they could test Kahenison also for that family, but they could test it. Right. Anyway, this is the way I saw the Shem, so obviously they're able to break it down only from the father. So the Sefer Yoshua said no. He said, the halacha, a Kohen is only someone as a Messiah from his father, from a father to son, he's a Kohen. We don't go with these nine mices for genes. So I was thinking that there's another reason why you should not rely on the Kohen gene, is because the same way Pinchas was born before the Bnei Aaron became Kohanim, Mistam, there were other children born to Elazar v'Isamar. Another view of the Torah is to talk about them, and Mistam, there was other children born before they became Kohanim, and they never became Kohanim, but they're also Enoch of Aaron. So they would also have that gene that they should not from Aaron.
I thought you said they have a Kohen gene.
What? The Kohen gene is telling you came from Aaron, but the way we're explaining that Rashi says, only Aaron, the one of, became Kohanim. Any children that were born before Matan Torah, for example, Pinchas was also Ben Elazar. This is Kedushas Kuna. The gene is not showing Kedushas. The gene is showing they came from Aaron HaKohen.
Aaron has a gene that no one else has?
Every person has specific genes. Every person has specific genes. All children from a common ancestor will have that common gene. And every Kohen has this common gene. There's this one common ancestor. So that would be another reason. And another time is, there might be Chalolim. I think a Cholo, just because he's a Cholo, he will still have that gene. If he's knowing it from Yisuri Kahuna, from Bia's Yisuri Kahuna, he's a Cholo, and Cholo does not get, does not do Bechaz Kaim, does not do Avoida, Cholo doesn't get Rishon either, doesn't get the first Aliyah either. So just because someone has the Kohen gene, maybe he's a Cholo. That's another reason we may have to rely about it. But just Agav Ucha, about the of DNA and of the Yoshev, I have to see, actually I heard on the telephone.
Maybe if someone doesn't have it, should be able to pass it.
I know Yoshua said we don't go by genes. We go in this story. He said we don't go by. I'm going to tell you this mice. So we Yoshua did rely on DNA. The mice after the Twin Towers, Chamon's son fell. There were never chidden in the building. They were killed by the Ratzchim, and there was a shining of a goodness because Chamon's son, anyone that died in the Twin Towers, there was no body. No body was found, and we know to be Mati and Isha. That Matin Agun, that Matin Isha, her husband died, you have to have Edus on a guf mess, and Edom have to be able to remember that this was her husband on this guf mess, and this dead body was her husband, to Matin Isha. And these people in the Twin Towers, the Chon Son, there was no guf mess. What the police did have was the Chon Son, they gathered up many Ebarim. They gathered up some organs they found on the ground that weren't completely, some people completely, not Chon Son, burnt or crushed, and then you wouldn't have no Heta, but there were some people that they did find certain body parts. And they gathered up all the body parts and they tested for DNA. And then they told all the people that suspected that knew they had Hanson people in the, even Goyim Havel, they had people in the Twin Towers, they told them, bring us a toothbrush or something with that DNA. And they took from all the people that were supposed to be in the building's DNA, and they matched it to all the DNA of the body parts they found. And that's how they were able to identify at least a large number of the people who had definitely died in that building. So Shaila was, is this enough to be matir in Eishes Ish, in Halacha? So there was a Beis Din that was convened in America.
But normally you have to see,
someone on a boat and you know the boat crashed, you have to see that you only there's Mishnayis and Yivamis, the end of Yivamis. You have to aid this on the person that drowned. You have to see the goof mess. No, you can't just be Matan Aguna knowing someone went to that building that day. There's no right here to leave.
But you know the
word that
they had reason to believe
it,
and then you had this.
Okay, so Gemara says, is all this enough? What?
Is this the only one to be
Matan? Obviously, this is the story, it's the case. You know, he went to work then, and he didn't come back, but the Gemara, you cannot be Matan someone. There were people that had made phone calls to the wives right before and said goodbye before and so on, but it's not enough to be Matan until you have a dead body. The only dead body we have is this DNA. Is that enough? So it's Beis Din in America. I think the Av Beis Din, the Rishon Av Beis Din was Rabbi Yonah Levin, Tam Chacham here in Lakewood, one known Tam Chacham from Yeshiva many years. More recently, is Rosh Kailo of Cheshem Mishpat Aven Ezra. And they got together and they passed in the Shaila. And before they gave a final psak, they had a phone conference with Rabbi Yashav. And Rabbi Yonah Levin invited his Kailo was learning that Zman HaGunis. And he invited his kailo to come and listen in on the conference call with Rav Yashav. And I knew some of the Chevi HaKailo, and they told me that's man, they were learning my Sefer on Shuz Kivega, Biyachiz Vegev, on some Shuvas and Agunas. They were using it on Simuk of Zion, other Shuvas, and they invited me to come along. So I got to sit in. The conference call was in the Yeshiva's office, one of the offices, or Baron Cutler's office, very nice office. If you've ever been there, it was only there once. He had a nice phone system. And he had a doctor also. They had a doctor who was saying Eidus on the line. The doctor didn't speak Yiddish or Ivrit, so they had an interpreter for the doctor. And Rav Yashav got understood, seemed to understand most of his English, and we were all sitting there listening in. So it started out, when Leon Levine started to present the Shaila, and he started to say Ishtakal Torah in the Oymek HaSugya, and Rav Yashav cut him off, and he says, now's not the time for Torah, he didn't want to hear any Ishtakal Torah, he said, let's get to the facts. And Rav Yashav asked him, his first Shaila was, and he wanted to ask this to the doctor that was giving professional testimony. He asked him, is DNA more than 1 in 1,000 that there's no one else with the same DNA, or is it less than 1 in 1,000? The reason Rabbi Yashav asked 1 in 1,000 is it's a Gemara in the end of, it's in Engel Tzis, it's also the end of Yivamis, and it's Halacha and Simon Yud Zayin. The Halacha is that if you have a goof mess, and he's not recognizable. Let's say some of the faces decomposed. And you can't recognize someone's husband was missing, and they found the goof mess. They found a dead body. They can't recognize him, but there's a simen, like a birthmark on the person that you know her husband has. Is that simen? Can you be mati and eshes ish based on the simen? The Gemara talks about simon of the raisa, simon of the rabbanim. So we know simonim is from a Shavas Aveda. That's where we know the name of simonim. But maybe it's only by Shavas Aveda. Does it apply also to mati nisha? So the Gemara says, if it's a Simon Geruah, and the example of a Simon Geruah is the person was short or tall, or he was blonde or redhead, something like that, that doesn't mean anything. Because a short or tall, Aruch, Vakatsa, or Balkuma, that's every second person is tall or short. Every third person is tall or short. And blonde here or red here, every third person, every fifth person has red here, has blonde here. That doesn't prove it's him. That could be somebody else. That's called Simon Geruah. That's nothing. If it's a Simon Muvik, and a Simon Muvik, the Pesachim say is 1 in 1,000. That's where we got this number from. And the Gemara gives an example. Nekev Mefulish in a tooth. If there's a hole that goes through a tooth, it's possible somebody else has that hole. If you'll check more than 1,000 people, maybe you'll find a second person. But 1 in 1,000, you're not going to find more than 1 in 1,000 people with a Simon. That's him. Then you know it's him. If it's in between, that's called Simon Mefulish. What? Right, Simon Geruah, Simon Muvik is him. And Simon and Tsoi. If it's somewhere in between, it's called Simon and Tsoi. That's where the Machoik is in Gemara, and that's where the Machoik is by Simon. That's not so posthumous. So that's what Rabbi Yashav was asking. This Simon of DNA, is this a Simon Muvik? Is this 1 in 1,000? Like, you're not going to find 1 in 1,000 with this same person's DNA. Maybe more, but at least you won't find 1 in 1,000. So the doctor answered back, it's not even 1 in 1,000,000. I was surprised. I thought it wouldn't even be one in a billion. I thought DNA is more exact than that. But he said, no, maybe more than one in a million, you will find somebody with the same DNA, because it's not broken down to every detail. You'll find someone with the same DNA, but one in a million you won't find. So the Yosha said, okay, that's good enough. That's a Simon Muvik that it's in. But the second channel of the Yosha asked is, what was the Ava that they tested? Was it an Ava Shinashama Tuliboy? The din is for to be Matia and Aguna, if you find an Ava Shinashama Tuliboy, the example given is in a Kugel Lamayna. In the times of Gemara, at least, if a person had his leg chopped off from a certain point high up, he doesn't survive it. He cannot survive it. And if he had, let's say, a shoe on it or something which we can identify that this leg was this person's leg, and the Shama Tuliya boy, and it was his, then she's Mutta. So same thing over here. This Ava that we know was his, the DNA was the simen, was that an Ava Shama Tuliya boy? So they told him that it was a spleen. But they didn't find all Avarim, they found a spleen that matched this Aisha Sish's husband's DNA. And Vyashavias is a spleen of Avish and Hashem Tuliboy. So Dr. answered, he said that in the optimal conditions, if you remove a spleen under surgery, a person can survive. But if a spleen came out of the body, not in a hospital, and the same thing that took the spleen out would kill the person. It's not Shayach, a guy from a foley, that the spleen came out, that he should survive that. I don't want to say more than what I heard. And this was enough of a Yashiv. A Yashiv was Mati based on this, which is really, I think, a Moedig Chiddush Halacha. I don't think it says anywhere. We find an Avish and Hashem Batluya boy. You have to find the face, the heart, or the lungs, or something that the person cannot live without. Over here, he's admitting that it's an Ava with Shein Hashem Batluya boy. He's admitting that it's an Ava that a person could live without. But he's saying a Chiddush, since the own, it's not possible for it to be removed under such conditions without killing the person.
It is.
What do you mean? I'm just saying over the way it was said.
Nobody can survive.
Okay. I'm just telling you the way it was said. This is the way it was said. And the third shayla of Yosef Yestin was, is it possible that the police switched the toothbrushes for some reason? Maybe, you know, they're telling you that this lady's husband's DNA matches the spleen, but maybe they switched the toothbrushes and they put a different name on it, and that toothbrush with this lady's husband's name is really somebody else's DNA, and it's some other guy that matches, and maybe your husband is not this split, from this Ava, and maybe he took off. Is that possible? So the doctor, he was, I think, involved in the case, and he was made. He testified, said that he can't answer that question. Obviously, it is possible, but he can't say there's no reason for the police to do that. He can't imagine any reason the police would do such a thing. So Yosha basically said, okay, basically we could be the guy manema mesich vitoim. They're not coming to be mati neshes ish. They're just coming to identify for their own records who was in the building at the time, who was next to be made. And basically, after that, it was a very short few questions, just like that, on the phone, of Yosha was Mati Neshesish. You know, you would think it would be a whole complicated thing, but no, just like basically, that's Mati Neshesish. So basically, here's a case where he did rely on DNA to be Mati Neshesish. But to create a Kayin, Yosha did not want to rely on the Kayin gene. So again, they say the story that Rav Yosef said to Naya Maisa, we have to have Messiah, but I'm thinking other reasons he can't rely on the Kohen gene, because like we're saying, this Chiddush, that maybe he's a Kohen from a different son of Aaron from before Matan Skuna happened. That just because he's Enoch of Aaron does not mean that you're a Kohen. The same way Pinchas was not a Kohen if he wasn't Zeichet to it with this Kohen Vagomai. On this Pasuk, where Pinchas became a Kohen, the Torah says again, Hini Nesim Esbisi Shalom. The Gemara says in Kedushin, the Afsamach Vav HaMebeis, in the beginning of Aima, Vav Deshom Ketiyahi. Ketiyah is Kuf Tes Yudayin Hei. The Vav, or the word Shalom, is cut off. It's cut. Ketiyah L'chayim means cut. It's interesting to know exactly, what is the Tzura of the Vav Ketiyah? How exactly do we cut it? When we get to Pashas Pinchas next week, by Mincha and Shabbos, Monday, Thursday, on Shabbos, if you want to walk up to Sefer Torah and soap and give a look at the Vav Shalom, you'll see something interesting. You'll see a little slit in the Vav. So Kivega, in a tshuva, Siman Ayin Hey, was asked by a Seifa, it seemed that there were different menhagim and people were making this Vav Ketiyah different ways. And somebody asked Kivega, on the Maisa, how do you make a Vav Ketiyah? So Kivega answered back that the Pasha Taish Vav Ketiyah is that it has a little cut in it. And Kiri said, most Sefer Torahs, they're doing like the Ur Torah. The Ur Torah is a Kadmoin that seems to be a very big safe on important safe on Safras. This Kadmoin, and the Ur Torah shows a picture of it. He says the slit is done on top of the Vav. The way, and it comes out looking, I have a picture of it if you want to look. It comes out looking like a little Yud, and then the little space, and then the vav continues. That's the vav ketiyah. And the Gemara has a drasha for this, by the Gemara has a more than a drasha. This is what we're going now. Since there's the vav of Hini Nesra Bishi Shon, the Gemara says vav ketiyah, that the vav is cut, we dash in as if the vav is not there. And we dash in the word shalom as if it says shalem. And we dash from here, kishu shalem, he's oivid, the loy kishu chasa, not when he's a bamum. This is the mokka that bamum is possible for vayda. The whole mokka is from this pasuk. Shalom means pashut peace, or unless you're shalom. But if you take away the vav, the word is shalem, the Gemara dashens, kishu shalem, the kain is only, and we learn from this pasuk where pilchus to okahanim. This is the whole mokka that a bamum does not do a vayda. So, moy de galacha. So Shailen again was, what exactly is the tzura of this vav ketiyah? So Kfege brings down from the Atayr that vav ketiyah means it had a little split in it, and the slit was on top, so it looked like a yud, and then it continued after that. But Kfege is more that if you look in the Bein B'chai, in Pashas Pinchas, it's not mashma that way. The Bein B'chai, he writes a loshen that the vav ketiyah is a vav zeira, is a small vav. So Kveg is medayik, that sounds like from the Bein Machai that you don't make up a sakat in it, you make a small vav, just a small vav. That's the way the vav ketiyah is written. I, the Kveg asked, that's l'chari not the lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say vav zir, it doesn't say vav ketana, small vav. The Gemara says vav ketiyah, a cut vav. A cut vav sounds like the Atayr. So Kveg answers back, no, it could be the lashon of cut also is the lashon of a small vav, and the Kveg gives two rays to it. One is the Mishnah Shabbos, the Samachayim Aveyah. The Gemara says, Hakiteya, someone of one son who has a cut foot, an amputated leg, Yesu Bekapshala, goes out with his cap, with his stick. I mean, in the old days, I think you see like in the old pictures of the pirates, when they had that leg removed, they have like a little wooden piece there. That's the way Hakiteya, someone of one son, lost part of his leg, they would stick a peg, like a piece of wooden, and the Mishnah says in Shabbos, that's not called Haitzah. The kiteya, the person missing leg, is allowed to walk out on Shabbos. So Zakti B'Kiveg, what's the kiteya? The kiteya has his foot cut off, but it doesn't mean a split and then the foot continues. It means it's just cut off. And it's a shorter leg. The same thing, vav kiteya can mean a short vav. The bottom part is cut off, it's cut off completely. The way Rebbeinu B'chai learns, it's a vav zira.
And we give
Well, look at Rashi and he knows it'll be strong. Does Rashi bring down Kishu Shalim Balei Kishu Chasa? I think more dashes it from here, from this pasuk also.
I don't know, it must be for a different meaning, but
over here it's Lahakim. That's Lahakim? Okay, maybe. Maybe he goes on a Chingus, Matnes Kahuna. Yeah, I have to see. But anyway,
it's a drasha. I'm not asking you, I'm asking you. Uh-huh. It's a parashat.
Yeah, okay, I have to see it again. But Gemara, we're also going to have from here. But we're getting back to the tzura of ketiyah. Then Kivega brings another raya that ketiyah could be a lashon of cut, and there's nothing remaining after that. From the lashon of the Gemara Numa, Daf Yud Aleph, and other places, it talks about yeledes mukatayim, a woman who gives birth in less than 9 months. The Gemara calls it yeledes mukatayim. She says yeledes to cut off months from her pregnancy, from Yimei Hirayim. So the Rosh Kivega says, you see that the lashon of ketiyah could be something cut off, and there's nothing continuing after that. So first, giving is the kashan of Rebbeinu B'chai. How could you say that vav ketiyah means vav zir, means a small vav? Chayrus mashmo, it's cut the way the Torah says. It has a cut and a slit in it, and then it continues. But the Kivega brings these two rayas that ketiyah can mean cut and nothing continues after that. You have both. You mean you have both?
A regular typical vav that got cut looks like a yud now. It wouldn't be a vav. It would be a yud with a little thing continuing, right?
Right.
So the ones that have the minute that can cut it lower really have the Ben Chaim's vav also.
The ones that cut it lower or higher?
The ones that cut it low.
On the bottom part? Yeah. We didn't get to that. We didn't get to that sheet. Right now we only have stuff like two sheets. The entire sheet is that the cut is on top, so you have a yud and the vav continues. And the Ben Chaim, the Kivega says, calls the vav zira a small vav, which Kivega understood to mean just a small vav and nothing underneath that. But the Kivega must be right that the mashah holds like the entire, that it's actually a slit and it's a yud with the continuing after that, because the mashah in Chlish Shagod, the Sangadushin, he has the kasha on this whole drasha that because it's vav ketiyah, it has to be kashrus shongaim. We read the word as if there's no vav, and we read the word as shongaim. As if there's no vav, and it has to be kashrus shongaim, but like kashrus chasa, not when he's a bombam. So, effect of mashah, if the vav would be missing entirely, it would be a kriyan ksiv, maybe you could read it as shongaim. But here the vav remains. Just because of vav katiya, where do you get the word shongaim? It's still shalim. It's shalim with a vav katiya. Why is the Gemara ignoring the vav? Just because there's a cut in it. So maybe you say the kasha is not so shver. The fact that the cut tells you to ignore the vav, the mashah bothered him this kasha. So mashah wants to say merdik b'shat. He wants to say the havli of vav katiya kiyud. The vav katiya becomes like a yud. The kavinin shlim, and we read it in Aramish. We read it shlim. Shu tagume shel tamim hepech bamum. We read it as if we do read the yud. The mashah is differently. It's not you don't take out the vav entirely. You read the vav as a yud, and if you read it as a yud, then in Aramish, in Aramaic, it'd be shlim. Which is more like a Zach, the Torah recognizes Aramish also. We do find some Aramish, and it was an accepted language in the time of Matan Torah, and Bechal, it's something special about Aramish. We know from other places, and it's in Tanakh also. But basically, the Mashal learns, this Gemara that says, because of the Vav Ketiyah, we read as Shalim, does not mean that we ignore the Vav. We keep the Vav as a Yud, and the word is Shlim. And Shlim in Aramish means Shalim. That's the Mashah says. If the Mashah is saying that the Vav Kati is read as a Yud, how does that work according to the Rebbe Mechai? If it's a Vav Zeir, if it's a small Vav, why would that be a Yud? He says it's Mashma from the Mashah that he understood like the Atayr, that it was a regular Vav with a slit in it, with a Yud on top and a space on the bottom. And then, because it's a Yud on top, that's where we read like Shlin. That's the most Mashmah of the Mashah. But then the the Kivik wants this b'dayichudis. He wants to say, well, it's lav dafka. Maybe the mashal learned like a Rebbeinu Bechai that it's a small vav. The tzura vav ketiyah is a small vav with no cut in it. And because it's a small vav, we look at it like a yud. Just because it's a small vav, Kivik brings a raya to it. Listen to this moedig raya. Brings a raya from a shtuk l'asom amoris on the Rami panel. It's a very shver Kabbalah sefer. The Rami panel was from the Great Book of Kabbalah, Matamon of the Rizal. And the Kivik quotes his lashon, and it's a few lines, and it's very difficult to read, very cryptic. How I got someone to explain it to me. I couldn't understand it, but someone explained to me the shtickle, Ramami Pano in Asom Amoris. He's saying like this. He's going on a pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha where the Torah changed Sarah Aminu's name from Sarai to Sarah. And the Ramami Pano explains the Alpi Kabbalah. The pasuk says, Lysikra Shema Sarai Ki Sarah Shema, the reason is, Ramami Pano says, is because Ois Yud is a very small ice. It's a double cut, just deep as the eye. It's only a drop of the eye, and because it's so small, a pika bone, it's not masugal for bracha. Ice is not masugal for bracha. So therefore, the Eibush to change, and he brings down a pika bone that the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei has yud in it because mimal the yud is masugal for bracha, but mitachas a pika bone in this world it's not masugal for bracha. So sorry, her problem was she had the name yud in her name. It's not masugal for bracha. So therefore, the Torah said, change it to an ois hay. And ois hay has in it, you know, like a dalet. And a dalet is very mesugal for bracha. So it says, because the dalet goes chaylech v'shav, it goes horizontal and it goes vertical, up and down. It's mesugal for bracha, to be mashpia from all sides. It's very good. It's very mesugal for bracha. But then the Sama Moris, it's akasha, and the ois hay, the regal of the ois hay is like a little yud. So you have again that no yud, which takes away the koyach of a bracha, which is not musuk of a bracha. So what was the whole mayla changing a name from sarah to sarah? So I'll pick up all of them. So Maris explains that even though it's a yud, but because it's connected to a dalet, and the dalet is very musuk of a bracha, it's okay. You know, that's what she had a bracha. That's one teretz. And then he says, which seems to be a second teretz, he says that really that regal of the hay is not a yud. It's a vav zeir. It's a vav ketiyah. That's his lashon. It's a vav ketiyah. Which means a small vav. It's a small vav. And a vav is also very mesugal for bracha because it goes up and down, it's very mesugal for bracha. And the fact that it's small is special mesugal for bracha because small shows the midah of anivus and the midah of achna. And a person has the midah of anivus and the midah of achna, he's for sure going to have bracha. And it's a ganz kapon de gazach. But a kaponim, the kregen is bekiyas, wants to say, you know, where do you find the words vav getiyah? So he told you, we have a Gemara in Kedushin, it's also a mashah. So Beinu Bechayim Pashas Pinchas, and he says, in Asor Mamorais, this Kabbalah Sefer in Pashas, on this shtickle in Pashas Lechacha, where he refers to that little regal in the hay as a vav getiyah. Now over there, that little regal in the hay is not cut at all. It's the most you can say it's a small vav. So Kvege brings it right from there that the Shomer Amoris also holds Vav Ketiyah means a small Vav. And then the Kvege wants to say, I might think that the Shomer Amoris was saying two Tursim. First he called it a Yud, and then he said it called it a Vav. So he said it's a Yud and it's not so bad because it's connected to a Dalet. Then he called it a Vav and he said it's good, it's very good because it's a Vav. But Kvege says it's not two Pshatim, it's all one Pshat. Because this tsura of the regal of the hay is one tsura. We know what it is. And the Shomer Amoris is calling it either a yud or a vav. The Teretz says that when you have a vav zir, when you have a small vav, you could look at it either like a yud or a vav. That's what you see from the Shomer Amoris. It could be either a yud or a vav. There's a man who wants to say the mashah that said that the vav ketiyah is read as a yud to make the word shlim, not shalim, to make the word shlim. The Mashor, Abdafka, we thought the Mashor is learning like the Torah, that's obviously a Yud with a cut and it continues. But he says, no, it's Abdafka. Maybe the Mashor learned like the Rebbe Bechai. That's a small Vav. And a small Vav can also be looked at like a Yud. But we see from the Mesomar Morris. So, like upon him, we have two Pshatim on what a Vav Ketiyah is and how to write in the Sefer Torah this Pasuk in the Nesomar Shalom. Agav, the Mashor, has a whole shtick on Chushay Agadus. And it bothered me. Why is it in the Chlishe Agadus, not in the Chlishe Halachas? This Gemara is a very strong Halacha de Gemara. First of all, it's telling you how to write a Sefer Torah. When you write a Sefer Torah, you make the Vav, how to make the Vav. So the Mashal is explaining it. Second of all, this, like we said, from this Gemara, from this Drasha, we would actually, from this Vav Ketiyah, Kishushoni, Vav Kishuchasa, the Pasal Bamun. So Chlishe should be in the Chlishe Halachas. We know the Mashal used to have two Svarim, one Chlish Shalach, one Chlish Shagos. Today they print them all together with different ice. It's called different font, the small font, the small ice. But the Chlish being a Chlish Shalach. But upon them, these are the two Shittas. One Pshat of Vav Ketiyah is that it should be slit on top with a little Yud and then continued on after that. The other Pshat is no, you just make a small Vav. And then Kivega brings down, he found one other person says like the, one of the Rishon says like the Atayra. He says, no one else speaks about this. It explains exactly what the Tzura of the Vav is, except the Ritva. The Ritva in Kedushin does bring down that some people were making it a Vav Zeir, were making it a small Vav, I guess they meant the Bein Bechai. And the Ritva says, you have to fix all those Sifri Torahs, that's not the right way to do it. He says, a Vav Ketiyah means it has a slit in it. That's the Ritva's Lashon. His Lashon is, a Vav Desham Ketiyah, near is up to the Ritva, perish a curse bein time, there's a slit in it. The Eloi have the name Mazita here. If not, the Torah should, the Gemara should call the Vav Zira.
What?
Yeah, he says, that's the Vav Zasha. In other words, people are doing it like the Rebbein Bechai. Right. The Kirege answered his Kasha, why would the Gemara call Vav Ketiyah and not Vav Zira? The Kirege answered that Vav Ketiyah can refer to something that's small and even though it doesn't continue. He said we find that by Ketiyah it's Kavshanoi and you guys for Ketayim, we find that Lashon. But we've understood like the Kashan of Ketiyah cut, it sounds like there's a cut and it continues. But the figure does say that from the Tzvah it's not Muchach where the cut is. The figure says this that the Atari says the cut on the top bothers him. Because the Lamaisa, that would be a Yud. That'd be a Yud and with a little ink underneath it, with a space along it. It says more Mustaba, the Kriyega says, Mesvar, that the cut, you make a small Vav and then you make a little cut and then you continue the Vav. So the Shayna is where the cut should be. So Kvegis is saying, now three pshat. And one pshat is it's not a small vav, like the Bein Bechai. And another pshat is that it's a regular vav with a cut in it to make a little space. And according to the Torah, the space is on top. So it's on top, so it's a unit and it follows through. And Kvegis says the Dvor is not clear. The Dvor just says that there's a cut. And it's from Stabat from Kvegis, the cut was on the bottom. And it's interesting that all the Sefer Torah today do like the Kvegis. They do like the Kvegis, not like this Kadmon. And Kirig is just saying in Masara that the cut should be on the bottom. So you make like a small vav, a little space, and then you continue a little ink. Continue the vav. Okay, there's more in this tshuva. It gets a little more lamdish and a little more halachadik, but Richard will continue next time. Next Sunday is Tainis, Shavas Batamas Nidcha, so Richard, we won't have regular Chabura, and we'll, the following Sunday, if the Pinchas, we'll continue this inyan. Shkayach.